Okay, I'm going to share with you tonight an illustration, a gospel illustration called The Wordless Book. Now, I've made a note here that this is my wordless book, so that if my wordless book is different to the wordless book that you're familiar with, please forgive me, but this is the way I would like to do it. So you can see up here there are five colours in the wordless book. Now, it could be a wordless worm. It doesn't have to be a wordless book. And I have here a worm with the colours on it, on a peg with pretty eyes. And you could give this to someone and you could say to them, what do you think the colours mean? And then you could explain the colours in the wordless book. The wordless book could look something like this. I've seen them smaller. Much smaller. Could be big like this, or it could be even bigger like this one. And I'm going to use these cards tonight because you can see them, and that would be exciting. So what's the wordless book about? Well, it's about a book that has no words, and those people using it would explain the words as they go through the different pages. But there are five colours. The first colour is gold, and that's to remind us of heaven. The second colour is black, or as some people call it, the dark page. Maybe you're not allowed to use the word black, I'm not sure, but I've called it the black page, to remind us what prevents us from going to heaven. What's the thing that will stop somebody from going to heaven? And that simple word is sin. And then the red page. Sorry, I should be showing you the pages while we're doing this, the black page. And the red page, which is this one, represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that special? It's special because it was shed for us. So that's the red page. And then we have the white page. And the white page is to remind us of the clean heart that the Lord Jesus Christ's blood can give. Now, I've seen people get a bowl of water and put something in it and it goes black. And then I've seen them put something red in it and it goes white. And I would have loved to have done that tonight, but I'm not sure what chemicals they use. I know Condi's Crystals was one, but I'm not sure what else you mix it with. Maybe we could go onto the internet and find out. I'm sure we could. And that brings us to the last colour on here, and that's the green page. And the green page is there to remind us that we can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So just because our sins are forgiven, we're on our way to heaven, it doesn't mean that life stops there. So we're going to look now at the gold page. Oh, it's brilliant, it worked. What does gold remind you of? Well, gold is precious. If you have a big chunk of gold in your backyard, then you've got a precious metal. If you've got gold in your safety deposit box down at the bank, then you've got something that's considered precious. Countries used to run their whole economies on gold. Depending on how much gold you had in the bank, that's how much you could spend or trade. But gold also reminds me of heaven. Why does gold remind me of heaven? Because it says the streets are paved with gold. That's one of the things. But heaven is also a wonderful place. There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no other a lot of things in heaven. So if you've been chronically unwell, and you're going to heaven, you will never be chronically unwell again. If you're in pain, when you go to bed, your back aches or your knee aches or your head aches, that's going to be gone forever. Think of that sort of place. One of the most wonderful things about heaven is that it's God's home. And so we're in a situation where we're invited to come and live with the Creator of the world, the one who spoke the world into existence in 6 days. We're also invited to the home of the Saviour of the world, the one who, back in Genesis, was foretold that he would come and that he would save his people from their sin. We sing about that at Christmas, don't we? God loves us very much and wants us to be with him for eternity. What does eternity mean? And that's not a question that you need to answer. I'll answer it for you. But what does eternity mean? We talk about people who live for 100 years get a letter from the Queen to congratulate them. I've got to wait over 30 years to get that. Some of you even longer. Some of you shorter, maybe. But 100 years is nothing compared to eternity. Another word for eternity is forever. We have the opportunity of living in God's heaven with God forever. But there's something that prevents us from being with God. There's something out there. There's something that prevents every single person from automatically dying and going to be with the Lord. God created heaven for all people, everywhere, to go to. So heaven is big enough for every person that was ever born in any country, in any era, to go and be with the Lord. But the Bible says only a few will make it. In fact, in Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying." Tissues are banned in heaven because there's no crying. "Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Things will be different. In Revelation 21:21, it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Now, I can't appreciate gold being polished to the point that it looks like transparent glass, but that's the way the Lord God has described heaven. In John 14, verse 2, it says, "In my Father's house are," you want to help me? Many, how many? Many. "In my Father's house are many mansions," Jesus said. "If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." So that there are many rooms, there are many places of dwelling in heaven. And in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it's really good if we pause and just put our name in there. We personalize John 3:16. I won't do that tonight. I've done that before. And John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then it says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we can see there that heaven is a wonderful place. There's a children's chorus that goes, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. And it says, I wanna, so I've got to say it as it is, I wanna see my Saviour's face, cause heaven is a wonderful place, I want to go there. Now, if you've ever heard that song sung, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace, I want to see my Saviour's face, because heaven is a wonderful place, I want to go there. Well, what's going to stop us from going there? The black page, or the sin page. And again, we see here that this dark page, or this black page, representing sin, is what will stop the majority of people from getting to heaven. Now, I'm sure if we took a survey out on the street and asked people, have you committed sins sufficient enough to stop you from going to heaven? Most people would say no, because they think their good works and their bad works will outweigh themselves, and somehow they'll come out of it all right. But Romans 6:23 says, the wages or the penalty for sin is death. The penalty for our sin is death, or eternal separation from God forever. That's a very heavy punishment. Eternal separation. Separation forever from God. The Bible talks about a broad way and a narrow way. And if you've got your Bible, you might like to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And it says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So God's word tells us there are two ways. There's the Calder Highway going down to Melbourne. Four lanes, a lane, room in the middle for you to break down and not have any problems. And then there's Hokens Road, if any of you know Hokens Road. It's a dirt road that's a shortcut between Lockwood South and the Calder Highway. Stephen told the council he'd sooner drive down Hokens Road than McGlashan. I think he's right. But that's a narrow way. You really can't pass someone at full speed going down that road. One of you have got to yield over to let the other driver through. Now, it's 7 kilometres long. And sometimes you can get from one end to the other and never see another car. But it's a dirt road. It's a bit like the road that leads to life. There are few people on it. If you go down the Calder Highway in the morning or in the afternoon, it's heaps of cars just travelling along. Very similar to the Broadway. In fact, you can be on the Broadway and not even know that a narrow way exists. And you have no idea what's waiting at the end. So the dark page reminds me of the darkness of sin. Well, that means, that leads to the question, well, what is sin? What is sin? And I've got a list of things. Some of them are on the screen behind me. Sin is the bad things that people do. Sin is everything you do or say or think or even feel that is against God. It's things like lying, cheating, disobeying, fighting with others, or not being kind to someone. Pride is another sin. I'm sure that everyone in the room can fit themselves into one of those categories, maybe even into several. Things like lying, cheating, disobey. I think we've all done some disobeying in our time. Fighting with others, not necessarily fist fights, but, you know, you get that, why did they do that? Even fighting with inside. Not being kind to someone. Pride. That's a good one. Pride. The Bible says that anyone that has sinned, the Bible says that everyone has sinned. And we know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. The all includes me, and it includes you, doesn't it? We've all sinned. Yes, you and I and everyone else in the world, past, present and future, have sinned and done wrong things. The Bible says that we were born to do what we want to do. We were born to sin. We were born to do wrong. My mother didn't have to teach me to sin. Your mother didn't have to teach you to disobey, did she? Oh, there's very blank looks out here. I'll repeat that. Your mother didn't have to teach you to sin, did she? You didn't have to answer, it's all right. You probably got punished for doing wrong things at home when you were small, maybe even when you were bigger. But those kind of things are what God calls sin. And God has a punishment for sin. And that punishment is separation from Him forever. And the Bible calls the place where that happens, it calls it hell. So you've got heaven and you've got hell, and there's no in between. There's no other place. But fortunately, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 9b, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God didn't plan for some people to be saved and other people not to be saved. God's plan was that everyone should be saved. But God will not allow sin into heaven. And everyone has sinned. So if I was to end the wordless book story right now, nobody would be going to heaven. Everyone that's ever been, that ever will be, would be stuck on that broad way going to destruction. Our fallback position is therefore to go down the broad road that leads to hell. Therefore, everybody that has ever lived is going to hell unless somebody intervenes. Praise the Lord, God has intervened. And He's provided a way that some people can travel on the narrow way. Let's see what He did. God made a way to take care of the problem. Just as we're looking at the red page, just a reminder, the gold page reminds us of heaven, the black page to remind us of what prevents us from going to heaven. The red page represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for us. The white page reminds us of the clean heart that God can give to us. And the green page reminds us of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's perfect Son. Pastor was mentioning some of this morning. He is God the Son. That means that He is God. He became a man and lived a perfect, sinless life. That's hard to get your imagination or your brain around. Can you imagine having a child that lived a perfect, sinless life? But the scriptures say that the Lord Jesus did. He was obedient, did what he was asked to do. He was a tradesperson. He made yokes fit well. He lived his entire life and never sinned. You know, you would think that anyone who did that, anyone who could live that kind of life, would be well liked. And yet, when he grew up, wicked men took the Lord Jesus and nailed him to a wooden cross. Why did they nail him to a wooden cross? Because he was God's son. So the red page reminds me that they left him there to bleed and to die. Wicked men took the Lord Jesus and nailed him to a wooden cross. And as he died, he was taking the punishment for something he hadn't even done. Jesus died for our sins when he hadn't sinned himself. He was willingly taking the punishment for every sin that you and I and everyone in the world has ever done or will ever do. Think about that. The punishment was to die, and the Lord Jesus knew that the only way that our sin could be forgiven would be if he died for us. Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness. That's in Hebrews 9:22b. And as he died, the Lord Jesus said, "It's finished. It is finished." When Jesus, that's in John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Everything that needed to be done for your sins and my sins to be taken away had been done on the cross. They buried his body, but 3 days later, he proved that he could take away your sins and my sins and give us everlasting life by coming back to life. And again, Pastor Mitchell mentioned that this morning. And without dying again, he returned to heaven where he is today. Because Jesus is God's Son who died for you and for me, you can become his child right now. Now, I know in a church like this, most people have done that. Most of you here are saved. Most of you can remember an occasion, a message, a day, an event in which you would say, "That's the day I was saved." Well, praise the Lord that you can. But there may be someone who can't. Someone who can't remember a day of which they surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Can't remember a time when that happened. Or maybe tonight is the night that the Lord Jesus would come into your heart. What do you need to be saved? What do you need to do to be saved? You don't need to do anything. Why? Because it's already been done. But we usually say that people need to hear that Jesus gave his life for yours. We need to believe that Jesus did all that was needed to save me and to save you. We need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our life, and that's usually done in prayer. And we need to thank God for our salvation. So we need to hear and believe and receive and thank God for our salvation. The white page. Yes, thank you. The white page. In John 1, 12 and 13, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Those that believe on his name can be born again or born of God, and that's what we need to be. So the white page stands for the cleansing of salvation. Once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, we're cleansed from sin. We become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So the minute we're born again, the minute we're saved, our whole life changes. That which was in the past has gone. And we have a new leaf, a new page, a new life, a new creation. God saves us instantly through our faith in Christ. His blood washes away all our sins and makes us white as snow before him. Psalm 51:7 says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." How can you be whiter than snow? Well, you can. The Bible says you can. And then Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So God's promise is that we can have a clean heart. We can start again. We can start a whole new life. This is God's promise. And he will forgive us all our sins, our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. What an offer the Lord God is giving us. So that brings us to the green page. I think I'm supposed to be holding, hang on. I'm supposed to be holding these up. The green page. Okay? To the green page. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in grace. The green page stands for the Christian's need to grow in his or her new life. And to grow as a new Christian, we need, I've put down four things, I'm sure you could think of others, but we need God's Word. We need our Bible. Mine's a King James Bible, and I'm very happy to continue using a King James Bible. But God speaks to us through his word. If we open this book day by day, he will speak to us out of it. It might seem a bit complicated. It might seem a huge task to read all the way through it. I think when I was 8 or 9 or 10, I decided I was going to read the Bible. And I got through to Numbers or Deuteronomy before I ran out of steam. Probably should have started somewhere else. But it wasn't too long when I was in my 20s that I would read through the Bible every year. And that's been a blessing to me. Also, we can hear God's word preached on Sundays and Wednesdays. at other times that we have opportunity. God speaks to us. So if we want to grow, if we want to be a green Christian, and I do not mean the other green, if you want to be a green Christian, we need to give emphasis to the Word of God. We need to be in there. When I walked up this evening, someone was sitting there reading their Bible. What a good idea, reading your Bible in church. We need prayer. God speaks. We speak to God through prayer. And we have a prayer meeting here every Wednesday night. And the men go out into these rooms here and just ask God for things to do with the church. What a blessing that is. We need fellowship. We need other believers. That's why we have one-way club and youth group and ladies' studies and men's things and adult fellowship, Sunday school. We have all of those things because we invite people to come to our homes. Because we need to have fellowship. If you're working in the normal environment, you're going to spend eight hours every single day with people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you come home from work, you're contaminated. You've been hearing things that you'd prefer not to hear. I didn't believe how fortunate I was when I was working in my last few years. I just went to a repair centre to get the bus looked at. And for the 4 hours or 5 hours that I was there, I heard things that I hadn't heard in years. And I thought, wow, isn't it nice to be retired and be just not hearing these things? Because that's the way the world is. So we need fellowship with each other, and I'd encourage you to do as much of that as you can. We need to witness. We need to tell others about the Lord. We need to be ready with a testimony so that we can share it with others. We need all four in order to live a truly victorious life. Let the Lord Jesus Christ save you from your sins and give you a place in heaven with him. There are five pages in the wordless book. The gold page is to remind us of heaven. We don't know a lot about heaven. That there are certain clues that are given in the Bible. There are things that we're told won't happen. We're told we'll be forever with the Lord. That heaven is definitely the place to be. I think we're told more about hell than we are about heaven. But I couldn't imagine living forever in torment and pain and disappointment. Because that's the alternative. The black page is to remind us that everyone has sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. Every person that ever lived has sinned, except the Lord Jesus Christ. The red page is there to remind us that the shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood saves us from the penalty of sin, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood there can be no forgiveness. The white page reminds us of that clean heart, that fresh life, that new beginning, that new start that happens when somebody trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is that we can start afresh with the Lord God. And then the green page is there to remind us that it's our responsibility to grow. It's our responsibility to be in the scriptures, to read it every day. It's our responsibility to pray. It's our responsibility to have fellowship. And where the Lord gives opportunity to testify about what he's done. Let me encourage you to have a testimony written out. In fact, most people need to have a 3-minute testimony and a 15-minute testimony. 3-minute testimony is to create interest and share with someone that you're saved. And then a 15-minute testimony should really tell you what the Lord has done in your life, how he's been a blessing, and in there should be the way of salvation so that someone listening to you will know. Thank you for letting me share with you the Wordless Book, and I'll just pray now and then we'll close with our final hymn. Gracious Father, you are a great God, and part of that greatness is your invitation that as mortals, mere mortals, we can be saved. We can have our sins forgiven. We can have our hearts cleansed, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes away all of those sins. We can remain sinless, as it were, because you've died for the future sins that we will also still commit. We're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, back in Genesis, it was promised that he would come. And right through the Old Testament, we see situations, examples of when he was coming and how he would come and what would happen. He said that he came to die for our sins, and he did. And he rose again the third day and was seen of many. And he's gone into heaven and he's just waiting to come back and receive the church to himself. I'm thankful that all of this is possible. All of this is recorded in his word. And I just trust these matters into your hands in Jesus' precious name. Amen.